peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin? Oh, the first few beautiful words of that old blessed hymn. Let's talk about that peace, that's perfect peace, coming up from the International Gospel Hour.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. Welcome to our broadcast today. For over 90 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through our broadcasts. Just ahead is another Bible-based lesson with Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. Let's begin.
Well, thank you to our Jay Webb, and greetings and hello, everyone. It is a joy to have you with us for this, our weekly broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. We've been on the air or online since 1934, well over 90 years we've been on the air, and we appreciate all of you, our listeners, that help us remain on the air by your dedication in tuning in and listening and reaching out to us. Thank you always. Let's begin our study today by going back to Isaiah the prophet, who is rebuking sinful Israel. And in the first part of his book, he rebukes their wrong, and we find, as he rebukes, there are the words that grants them hope. For example, in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Now, although here is Israel that's moved themselves away from God, he reminds them that God will always keep his promises. And although people may rebuke and rebuttal and rebel against God, that yet his mind is on them. A translation of peace, peace is shalom, which is mentioned twice. When you see the word peace, peace, it's an idea of a completeness, the shalom. Go in peace, go in wholeness. May your life have harmony and be fulfilled. And that can only be found for you and I in Christ Jesus, as Paul affirmed that Christ himself is our peace, Ephesians 2 and verse 14. He penned that to the Christians in Ephesus. Friends, this world needs to be grateful for the gospel of peace. Paul affirmed in both Romans 10 and verse 15 and Ephesians 6 and verse 15 that the gospel is a gospel of peace, the message that will save mankind. Paul's words of the gospel in Romans 1, 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We also note Peter in 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Here is Paul, here is Peter, carrying forth the command of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 and verse 15. Surely one would desire this peace granted from God, that when one is obedient to the gospel message, that gives a peace of mind, a peace for one spiritually. From Colossians 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Notice that passage says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." It is a fair thing to say that all hymns should be penned that are based upon the Word of God, and how they were able to teach and instruct one another. When you and I sing in worship, we sing to instruct one another. God does not command us to bring in instruments within our worship from our teaching in the New Testament. It is of interest to see unto the churches in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 14:15 and Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 of how they were to simply sing. And I recall a gentleman one time telling me that he said, "Jeff, I am a musician by trade." He said, "A lot of times in church, I'm listening to the beat of the music, the instruments." He said, "The other night, we ceased the instrument and just sang without them." He said, "I could learn and listen to the words and grow." Friends, I believe that he is correct in light of Scripture, how the church in the New Testament would sing together to hear those hymns and to understand the words that are brought forth. Today we want to take a hymn and understand the teaching of the hymn in light of Scripture. The hymn "Peace, Perfect Peace" by Edward Bickersteth, a native of England, and he was a leader in Christ Church in England. It is said that he penned the song "Peace, Perfect Peace" at the bedside of a dying relative, and he read it to his relative after writing it and to his children later. It's probably the most popular of the 12 hymns that he penned. You see, beginning with each stanza, a question is asked in line 1 and then answered in line 2. It is a hymn, a song about living and dying within the peace, the perfect peace of God. So we'll be back in a moment of our, we'll be back for more of this study in a moment, but first a few words about our social media and then let's continue our study.
Hey, Facebook friends, please follow us at our page, International Gospel Hour. Keep up to date with our daily broadcasts and special announcements along the way. That's International Gospel Hour on Facebook, and feel free to share our material on your Facebook page.
Let's begin with stanza 1. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. You see, the first line of the stanza, the question is asked and the answer is given. And when you think about it, friends, to have perfect peace, the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that could remit the sins of man. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." We find that phrase, remission of sins, in Acts 2 and verse 38. It only stands to reason because Peter has preached about Jesus Christ, and he's preached about the Christ that they had crucified. And when Peter said that they had crucified the Christ, they were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They realized what they had done. And right there in the context of that crucifixion preaching, the gospel message, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." You see, friends, when one is baptized into Christ, we note from Romans 6, we are baptized into his death. And when we're buried with him in baptism, again, Romans 6, 4 through 6, and Colossians 2 and verse 12, and to his death, and we're buried with him in baptism, his blood was shed in his death. Isn't it something how the command of baptism brings us right there to the death of Christ upon the cross? In Colossians 1 and verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, and by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." The only thing that could appease the sin of man was the blood of Jesus Christ. That's peace, friends. That's perfect peace. Let's enter into stanza number 2. "Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest." Now, the word thronging is a word that is seldom used today, of course, but defined, it means a considerable number of things that are crowded or considered together. Now, we may not use the word, but we certainly live the life, do we not? What about have you heard people say, we've got so much going on right now? And that seems to be the mantra of the world today. We've got so much that's going on in our lives. We've got so many things that are happening. Well, friends, that's the idea of thronging duties pressed. It means there's a considerable number of things, and we've got a lot of things crowded in our lives. But look at the answer. With everything going on, look at the answer. Do the will of Jesus. It's a matter of priority, is it not? It's interesting. I was looking at some stats recently of our broadcast, especially over the past few years. I don't know when you're listening to this broadcast. I am recording this broadcast in 2026. You may be listening to it at a later date, but I began my work with International Gospel Hour in 2020. So I was looking over programs and the ones listened to more and more, and anything to do with priorities in our broadcast, whether we have them on radio or television, they seem to be the ones watched or listened to more than others. People are trying to get things in order. A lot of times I share with people to look at their schedules and to look at eliminating maybe one big thing, something that's taking a lot of time, and to eliminate that one or cut it back halfway. Maybe some small little things that you could drop and eliminate. I'm reminded of a man one time. He was sharing with me when his boys were younger, and they wanted to be in a lot of athletic events. And after about 1 year, he said, "Fellas, this has got to stop. We can't keep running to every season. Why don't you pick your favorite sports? Pick one and let's focus." Well, one boy liked to play football more than the other one, and the other boy liked basketball. He said, so we could all enjoy a football season and a basketball season and then have time for ourselves. We're always looking to prioritize our time. In Ephesians 5:15-17, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, he told them to walk as individuals who are wise individuals and to understand the will of the Lord. So if we allow God to place the priority in our lives, and everything else will come around. Redeeming the time from that text of Ephesians 5:16 simply means making the most of our time available. And so the whole thought here is to do the will of Jesus. This is rest, to place God first. Or as I've often said, God is the hub in the middle of the wheel of our lives. And when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He will add all those other things, those physical needs of life, to us. Matthew 6:33. Peace, perfect peace, is found with that priority. Let's go to stanza 3. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round? On Jesus' bosom, naught but calm is found. You know, when I sing that line of that song, that stanza, it brings to mind the scene within the Last Supper of John 13:23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And that is John that is depicted there, showing us the closeness that is there, the relationship that John had with the Christ. If you remember at the cross, in John's account of John 19, Jesus looked and saw his mother and said, "Behold, your son." And then he looked at John, the apostle whom he loved, and said, "Behold, your mother." And John took her to his home. You see, let's look so far. We are redeemed by his blood. walking in His will and His way that aids us with the sorrows that are surging. Now, when you look at how that is worded, it means that these sorrows hit hard and sudden, like a flash flooding. Where I live in the region of the United States, flash flooding is often predicted, and when it comes, it comes. And when sorrows are surging, one should draw closer to the Lord, not move away from Him. I've seen individuals with their grief and their hurt pull away from God more when they need to be drawing closer to Him. And someone shared with me once, they said, "It's so painful to come to worship because I hear a song that reminds me of my husband or my child." And I've looked upon them and I said, "But if you're in worship and you allow your worship unto God, He will provide and it will get easier and will become bearable." Friends, when we think about sorrows surging, things can come out of nowhere. I'm mindful of individuals who suddenly lose a loved one due to an auto accident, or a sickness comes upon them, a diagnosis of cancer that's too far gone. So many times we have a sorrow that is surging. Something comes upon us and it really puts our life in disarray. Let's remember of Jesus Christ and notice in the first three stanzas, the answer is always something pertaining to Jesus. It's interesting to note that for the prophecy of the Christ in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." As in the account of Peter walking on the sea in Matthew 14, when the waves and the sorrows surge, we should keep looking unto Jesus. He's called the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Let not sorrows surge when the Savior is near with that peace, perfect peace. We continue with stanza 4. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne. What is that beautiful saying from the late Ralph Abernathy? "I don't know what the future may hold, but I know who holds the future." And you know, friends, when we think about that, there's a lot we don't know. We don't know what's going to be happening in our future. If you would have told me that I would be teaching you and studying with you through the realm of the International Gospel Hour 10 years ago, I would think, I don't know if that would happen or not. But friends, things changed, and we don't know what the future may hold, but we know who holds the future. You see, we allow His blood, if you will, to whisper peace, that we are obedient to the gospel, therefore doing His will, and staying close unto our Lord. Well, friends, here's what we do know. We know Jesus, and He is on the throne. There's no better text for this one than Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God," there it is, "which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I think of Jesus on the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. I think of Jesus who makes intercession for us, Hebrews 7, 24 through 26. I think about Jesus also who serves as the advocate for the Christian, 1 John 2, 1 and 2, pleading on our behalf. Dear friends, what a beautiful thought that Jesus, there at the right hand of the Father, and their peace and perfect peace that He will provide. Let's move on to stanza 5. Our time is quickly getting away. Peace, perfect peace, death shadows us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. I don't know who said it, but I love it. The best news the world has ever had came from a graveyard near Jerusalem. It came from an empty tomb. Amen. It was Jesus who said in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? In the book of Revelation 1 and verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus says, I have the power over that. We're assured in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And then think about our lives today from Hebrews, or rather Psalm 23 verse 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Friends, death shadows us, and death shadows our own. I think about my late father, my daddy, as I refer to him, being a southern man, I guess. And I remember when daddy was battling cancer and we visited his doctor and we were on the way home and I said, well, daddy, what do you think about it? He said, well, my son, it's nothing that I didn't already know. I'm slowly dying. And I said, well, daddy, when you think about it, aren't we all? I said, you know, daddy, with all going on, a heart attack could take you tomorrow. He said, let me tell you something, my son. A heart attack could take you tomorrow. And he was right. Friends, death shadows us. And it's often said we're not going to get out of this world alive unless the Lord returns. And so let's keep in mind the answer again. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. To live for Jesus Christ, to walk faithful for Him, when one passes from this life, there's something always, something better. We come to stanza 6, to where the song ends, and it's not a question and an answer stanza. It's a summary. It is enough. Earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus called to heaven's perfect peace. You see, there can come a day, and will come a day, that a perfect peace that we experience on this earth through Jesus Christ, and that one day there'll be something definitely better. Friends, with that being said, do you have the peace, the perfect peace? Of what you embrace and what you believe, is it in light of Scripture? Is it according to Christ? I've known many an individual that would study matters in the Bible and find out, hey, wait a minute, I'm believing something that is not there. That's why we encourage good Bible study. We make available absolutely free material left and right from International Gospel Hour. And we have a couple of Bible studies by mail, and here is our J-Web with the details of one of our studies called God and Man, How to Be Saved from Sin.
An additional Bible study by mail is now available from International Gospel Hour. It's titled God and Man, How to Be Saved from Sin. This study booklet addresses a number of questions about the salvation from God to man. And friends, like all materials, it's free. Call us toll-free at 855-444-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, God and Man. Or you can go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type God and Man in the message box. Another Bible study that is free from IGH and our friends at godandman.com. That's god-and-man.com. And, you know, since you can't see it, let me just spell that out for you. god-and-man.com. We'd love to hear from you.
How grateful we are, friends, to share that material with you. And, of course, that is from the International Gospel Hour, and that is God and Man, How to Be Saved from Sin, a study that has converted thousands to Jesus Christ. We hope it will be of help of your study as well. And also, I'd like to mention to you, if you have your iPhone or your Android handy and available, A free download awaits you at the App Store or Google Play. Go to whichever one you use and search International Gospel Hour and download our free app. It'll give you access to all of our works, our radio, television, website, social media, and of course everything is right there through the IGH app that you can have on your phone and the power in the palm of your hand. And we hope that that tool will be of help to you as well. And we're always grateful to share with you the material here absolutely free. And we're blessed that we can do so. You will not hear us ask for your money on the air. And we're grateful that we can be of help and serve people so well as God has provided for us. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, well, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed with everything going on? Well, to do the will of Jesus, that's rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, all these things coming upon us that saddens us? Well, keep in mind, stay close to Jesus. On his bosom, naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown? Well, that is true, but Jesus we know now, and he is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, death shadows us and ours. He's vanquished death and all its powers. And one day earth's struggles will soon cease, and to God be the glory. We'll continue our studies together at another time. Thanks for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and keep listening.
God be with you till we meet.
Thank you for listening today. To God be the glory. And we hope that our study today will draw you closer to His Word to walk in His way. Feel free to listen to our other programs at our website at internationalgospelhour.com. And join us next time.